Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in today, and it's a very special day because it's another edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We do this every month, but what makes this day especially special is we're doing this show before a live studio audience, so I have to introduce them. Let's hear from you, friends. This is so fun. I'm telling you, last time we did this, Dr. Troy and I were like, can we do this every day? I mean, I don't know if that would be hard on your schedule, but if you could just come around every day. So fun to see faces and have people just, we're in this together. We've had refreshments. We've actually had some Christmas music blaring. And the reason is because this conversation, at least we're going to top it off today, Dr. Troy, talking about how to get through the Christmas season with a pace that allows for grace, you know? So we're not killing ourselves. How do we pace ourselves? How do we actually detox before the holidays hit? How to work with the changes that actually take place in our bodies. Believe it or not, things are changing physiologically just by nature of the season. Dr. Troy will unpack that. And then how to enjoy the season, but still engage with things that are good for you to the point where you wake up on January 1st, you don't feel toxic and dead. I mean, what a way to start the new year, but so many do. They wake up and they're like, you know, Happy New Year, because they're exhausted and they feel toxic. And you've got some really insightful things to say about that. And I think I do too. I'm just kidding. No, he really does. But I'm super excited to hear what he has to say. We've chatted about it. And you might be surprised. So glad to have you listening. A couple quick announcements before we hear from Dr. Troy. If you've not checked out our Faith Radio app, it is stellar. It's free. It's amazing. So if you're traveling this season, you can go to Google Play or Apple App Store, download it for free. You can catch the live shows. You can catch podcasts after the fact. We'd love for you to take advantage. Also want you to know, if you've listened to Live the Promise for any length of time, you know, every holiday season, we do something called the Great Giveaway, where we mobilize thousands of people to do random acts of kindness, to get out of your comfort zone and engage in random acts of kindness that normally you wouldn't, you know, and it's just the most amazing thing. I want to give you a heads up because we're doing that again this year. Our day of reporting will be December 21st. So on your market set, go. Start thinking about ways that you can do something that's something you normally wouldn't do to make somebody else's Christmas better. So let me tell you about my guest, though he needs no introduction. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Spurrell is CEO and founder of Synapse, the Center for Health and Healing. He travels extensively, conducting seminars on disease prevention and healing through a faith-filled, healthy lifestyle. His mission is to impact the well-being of people around the world by providing solutions to complicated life issues and to create sanctuaries that promote the restoration and perpetuation of health, happiness, and prosperity. His company is located in Eagan, Minnesota. We're honored to have him with us today. Thank you, Dr. Troy. Yay.
Thank you for having me.
I wish you could see his face because he smacked it playing football. I'm telling everybody, knocked his tooth out. He looks so tough.
Yes.
But anyway, we love this talk scripture, as you know. I'm wondering if you have a verse that you came with for us today.
Yes, absolutely. So it's Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Love that passage. Yeah. Talk about what it means to you.
Well, there's so much in here, but this is a season where we see a lot of celebration and a lot of stress. And so we really want to have a focus going into this season. And when you do, everything changes. And what I love here is they tell you exactly what to do. Did you know that the Bible
it's
tells
amazing.
You? Yes, there's a lot.
Light bulb moment.
Yes. And so here, when it comes to this season, people will sacrifice their bodies in order to not say no to a guest. They don't want to hurt their feelings. And so we're not here to please other people or to please ourselves. We're to fix our eyes on Jesus and please the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so too many times, especially during this season, we get duped because it's a season of celebration. And then we do things that dishonor our body and dishonor God when it shouldn't be that way. And so just by having a little bit of extra focus where we're focusing our eyes, fixing our eyes on Jesus, taking them off of ourselves, our selfish sugar cravings. And, you know, 'tis the season, so I'm just going to have a little bit more chocolate this year. And then other things come from that. And so it really can be set up where we continually fix our eyes on Jesus, and our health improves because of that.
And this is the amazing thing is, you know, you'll know this if you get to know Dr. Troy. He's not a legalist as far as he's all about balance and enjoying the season. And there is a way to like treat yourself to treats in the holiday season. But what you're saying before the break and you touched on now is we lose our way when we fall into people pleasing. And the Bible says fear of man is a snare. You know, and we do give so much away in the holidays out of ought to's and should do's, right? Rather than get to's. Why ought to do that? And I should do that. And it's only 4 weeks in the month, and before we know, we're overcommitted. But also, we overindulge in ways that are beyond us. So to practice some kind of restraint, saying no to ourselves, and having the courage to not say yes to everybody, all right there creates some margin in our lives, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And don't get me wrong, I actually love sugar. I really like the taste of stuff. I had 6 donuts before the show.
So you did not.
I did not. Sorry.
Actually, you wanted
it,
to, though.
Is it wrong to lie on Susie's program?
Let's see what God does. All right.
Yes.
Just kidding.
No, I love sugar. I love celebrating. And the other part of that message there is for us, a lot of our sugar cravings come from stress. And there's a huge emotional component this time of the year. And we get stressed out for the wrong reasons. And one of the things I want to unwrap there is when we talk about scorning at shame, shame is something that we all actually have. The emotion that was perceived when Adam and Eve basically did what they did was shame. They basically felt shame. It's something that's deep within all of us. And biblically, we see that the counterpart to shame, what helps cure shame, is joy. And so we are meant to have joy during this season, especially when you think about what it represents. Thanksgiving is about gratitude and being thankful. And Christmas is about Jesus. And so we should celebrate that. And so it's all about getting the joy, not from our food per se, or not all from our food. We're meant to celebrate, but it's also joy so that it can combat the shame that a lot of us feel in life that we don't know. Because we're so busy with life, we don't really sit down and address it. So the joy is so healing. To our souls.
I mean, imagine what would happen because oftentimes we overindulge, we numb and numb out on things because we don't want to feel the shame. So instead of bringing it up and getting it out, we stuff it down and inoculate for just a little bit, right?
Absolutely.
And imagine if this was one of those breakthrough holidays where you thought, I'm going to feel some of this stuff. I'm going to bring it before the Lord. You know, the stuff I'm being stirred up about. And Lord, I want you to set me free. I want to put a flag in the ground saying this was the year that I left some of this stuff behind me. And that can't happen if we're consistently overindulging and trying not to feel.
Absolutely. And we'll go through some of what happens when we start to eat some of the foods we're not supposed to or do things we're not supposed to. When we have some of that inflammatory reaction inside our body, it stops parts of our brain, our nervous system, our immune system from behaving properly. We don't feel the same. Anytime there's a sugar hangover the next day or fatigue, that takes away from something that you are to do or something you're to feel. So just by keeping it clean or paying attention and fixing your eyes on the Lord, you will start to see and feel a difference during this season and come out of it where January 1st, you don't have to make a New Year's resolution because you feel pretty darn good.
And you're living it, really.
And you're living
it.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about several of the reasons why we feel toxic and we get sort of sluggish and we sort of start to find ourselves getting through the holiday season rather than wrapping our arms around joy and celebrating freedom and life. And I thought of 4 things: overcommit, overeat, overspend, and overstress. And if you want to add to that list, feel free. If while you're thinking about it and talking to me at the same time, and it is live radio, just a reminder. So
yeah, no pressure. So, I think you nailed it there.
Yeah, thank you. So what would you say happens to us physiologically when we commit to more than we should?
Well, when we commit to more than we should, and again, that's a perfect example of not being able to say no. So what you're really doing there is pleasing someone else. And so because you can't say no, we should be able to say no and be okay with it. It's very, very important to be able to say no for something that doesn't serve your purpose, your agenda, whatever you're doing there. But not all the time. We are meant to be servant leaders at the same time. When it comes to what happens physiologically is if we say yes and then we're exhausted and we have stress from that, we crave one of 2 things, salt and sugar. And the reality is this time of year, you can find sugar more readily available. People use that as an excuse to, I'm just going to get a bowl of sugar to put in whatever form at work. And so people go in and they grab a handful, and then people come in and they really do have donuts that they bring to work. And we use food to celebrate, and we use bad food to celebrate. And so I'd love to see people celebrate by bringing like carrot sticks or broccoli. And,
that'd be the last party you're invited to, but hey.
Is this why no one shows up to my parties?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's organic, Susie.
Yeah, I know. That doesn't help. But anyway, how about this when you overcommit? You know, we've talked a lot about adrenal fatigue and other things, but when you're driving, you are in fight flight. So
yes.
What's happening in your systems when you're having to try to commit to more than you're physiologically supposed to accomplish?
When you're overcommitting and you've got that fight or flight response, your brain thinks you should be running away. So all the nerve flow, blood flow goes to your arms and your legs. So you can fight or you can flee, run away. What it doesn't support is your digestive system and your sleep system and the system that helps with intimacy. And so when it comes to how you're performing in life, our overall function decreases. So this stress is driving a system where you should be using your muscles. But then what we're doing is we're sitting down and eating. So we're actually now causing a toxic reaction because our digestive system is not being supported. So the food doesn't get broken down as well. We have a little upset stomach or we get a headache that night or the next day. These are all signs and symptoms that you're using your digestive system when it's being unsupported. And so you're basically causing a lot of confusion in your body. Confusion never helps with healing at all.
And who's the author of confusion? The enemy.
Yep.
I mean, truly. I mean, God did create us to have some harmony and flourishing and order and rhythm to our lives.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And we have to be present for that. We have to understand what's actually happening with us. And our lives are so busy right now that we go from one thing to the other. And if you think back in Jesus' time, we read it in the Bible, and he travels from one town to another. Well, when you look at that travel, that would have taken 10 to 14 days or 3 weeks where they walked and they talked and then they sat and then they prayed and then they meditated and then they talked. It's very different than us saying, okay, I've got to go to 3 family functions and friends functions for Thanksgiving, and then I've got Christmas here and Christmas there, and it's very, very different. We're driving one place to the other. We don't take that time back to talk with the Lord like they used to. There was so much more time back then to just be, to be still, or to be communicating, and we don't have that. So it's important to take that time and focus on that and start to create as best we can right now for our busy, busy lifestyles.
Well, we're going to pause here and take a break. But I'll tell you something I started about 10 years ago that has just, for me, served me well. And there's a something for you that will serve you well. But for me, I mid-October, I would look ahead in the holidays each week, and I would X off a few days to plans not to have plans. I would just purpose and build the margin. And for me, I would say no treats on the weekdays. On the weekends, I'll have a little indulgence, but I'm not on the weekdays. And I can't tell you what a difference that has made on January 1st. I feel like I never miss a beat. I wake up with energy, but I still enjoyed the season and was present. So think about that. What would be good for you, the ebb and the flow? I know there's something we can do to counteract when we do have treats, because we want to be able to have some treats. There's some strategy that you can do for your body, and we'll take your questions as well. But we are taking a break. This is Live the Promise. I want you to hear my live studio audience here. Having such a great time. We'll take questions, and we'll be back in a minute. Listening today, and you can tell our studio is full. In fact, we moved our studio downstairs. We've got about 70 friends joining us for a live studio audience. This is The Promise. I'm Susie Larson. It is another edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. And today we're just talking about, at least for the first portion of the show, how to get through the holiday season, not even just get through, to be present in the holiday season, how not to be toxic when you wake up on January 1st without being a killjoy. Now, Doc mentioned bringing organic carrots to the party. Let me know how that goes. But I'll be hiding under the table. But you did mention, you know, that something happens when we're driving our systems by overcommitting, that our systems aren't in support of each other. And so then we'd sit down, we drive. When we sit down, we eat junk, and then we get a gut ache and we get a headache. Say a bit more about what we can do to counteract that. And even if we do have a wonderful piece of cheesecake and enjoy ourselves, there are things we can do to not make that, to counterbalance that.
Absolutely. And so think of it like a balancing teeter-totter there. When you have stuff like that, you want to do something to counteract it. And anything that can start a detox process in your body is good. So detox, the way we're referencing it, is basically a cleaning up of your system. So you want to let it get caught up with certain scenarios. So the best thing to do with detox, to start a detox program, is to start to avoid high inflammatory foods. So if you have a very tasty, high inflammatory dessert or three or something like that, and then it's important to do something to counteract that. One of the best things you can do is start fasting, not an extended fast, just short fasts of 24, 48 hours, or even intermittent fasting, where you're just being consistent, where you do intermittent fasting 5 days a week. That'll actually help start a detox process, because as you're not throwing more things for your digestive system, liver system, immune system to work on, it'll start to pull from what was left over that you didn't get to before. And so you can start to really improve on your function just by avoiding certain things. Water always helps with the detoxification process. So if you don't drink a lot of water, or if you drink something like coffee or a glass of wine or something like that that causes some extra dehydration, you have to rehydrate. One of the best things you can do is fiber. Fiber will actually pull water into the bowels and start to clean up the bowels. So if you think about what we said before, and you're in fight or flight, your nerves are not supporting your digestive system, it becomes sluggish and you end up getting things kind of left over in your digestive tract. Well, fiber helps to go in there and actually clean up. So regulation of your bowel movements is really, really important through the holiday season. And the funny thing is, during this time of year, when the sun goes down, when we've been avoiding, or we don't get as much sun, we tend not to get the vitamin D. And I'm going to tell you right now, vitamin D is crucial for bowel function. It actually can affect the reactivity of our digestive system and our bowels. So many, many times people will get have a digestive problem during changes of the seasons. Part of it is vitamin D related, especially in the spring after you've gone through a whole winter of no sunshine or sunlight. So vitamin D becomes very, very important to get that.
And a clean vitamin D, I would imagine, is very important.
Absolutely.
Because you can build D up in toxic amounts in your body. So
yeah.
You want a good vitamin D supplement.
Yes,
right.
A good vitamin D supplement, and also sunlight. You can still get some sunlight, and it's important to get that as much as possible, especially up here in the north part of the United States. And so getting support to the digestive system is really, really important. And of course, the things that help our bodies detoxify are going to support the liver system, the kidney system, the bowels, the lungs, and the skin. And one of the best things you can do are antioxidants, like organic carrots or something like that.
Okay, I'm no doctor, but I'm trying to picture showing up to a party going, my New Year's resolution is to have healthy bowel movements, and I'm starting with this carrot. What are you thinking about for the next year? So maybe we'll just keep this on the DL. How about that? But it's a good idea, though.
I'm starting to see why people don't show up to my parties.
But I totally see. Okay, so this is, now I might be wrong about this, so correct me, but I'd heard from somebody or read this somewhere that, and I know that sugar is a high inflammatory food, one of the highest, if not, right? The highest.
Yes.
But what I'd read or heard was that it actually, it inflames the vessel wall and thins it so much that we get micro tears. And that's where you'll have plaque buildup. Like Alaskans will have high fat diet, but they don't have near the heart disease that we do because they don't have high sugar. And we have the heart disease because we have fat, and then the sugar gives you these micro tears, and that's where you get plaque buildup on. I mean, when you start to think of the impact truly of too much sugar, then it makes you not want it so much anymore. I mean, I want a treat once in a while, but when you start to see what you're doing to yourself, but maybe correct me if I'm wrong here.
No, actually you're right. So, sugar will have an inflammatory cascade reaction on many levels. So sugar feeds, when we don't use the sugar for energy, then it kind of stays there and it's left over. It can get stored as fat. So eventually it can end up just being stored as fat. Triglycerides can go up and we can get non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, things like that. But also it can feed things like yeast or fungus. And so the bad microbes and bad fungi will actually consume that, and their end products are toxic and cause inflammation.
Wow.
And then sugar itself can actually cause some congestion with our detoxification system. So the lymph system, which basically is Greek, it means Greek for fast-flowing waters or fast-flowing river. We have these river systems in our body with the lymph system full of water, and just our immune system comes and dumps all of the contents of the cells and the bacteria and everything into the river system, and it flows downstream. Now, just imagine a big dump truck coming up and dumping a whole bunch of sugar into that fast-flowing water. It starts to turn into more of a lava-type flow because it becomes thick and gloomy and gooey. And when that happens, we don't detoxify as well. So then the end reaction of that is increased inflammation.
Wow.
And then what you're talking about is byproducts of metabolism where the sugar causes free radical damage. And the free radicals go in and they cause the nicking in the blood vessels. And then our immune system, we have these cells called foam cells that basically go and kind of temporarily patch it up and then send a signal to go get cholesterol. Cholesterol comes in as the hard patch over top of the nick. And then that's why we start getting hardening of the arteries. And so the problem is not cholesterol. Cholesterol is just doing its job. It's basically stopping you from having a break or tear more significantly in the artery. So the real problem is the free radical. Guess what blocks free radicals? Carrots.
There we are again.
Antioxidants. So an antioxidant's job is to go in, bind to a free radical, and escort it out through the kidneys, liver,
kind of like
lungs.
The bouncer.
It's the bouncer, yes. Yes, and the big bouncer in the body is glutathione. It's the, well, in my day it was Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Arnold Schwarzenegger of antioxidants. And it'll bring out the more heavier metals, the more toxic ones. It's the strongest antioxidant. So
wow. Yeah. Okay, that's amazing. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Wow, when we come back, we're going to pause here and take a break. I want to ask you a question about when you think of detox, how do we detox our lives in these weeks before the holidays so we can show up in January 2018 with really a light load? You know, I mean, how can we pay attention to what God's putting his finger on in our lives so we can truly lean in and do some of the work? I'm telling you, I think it makes us enjoy the holiday seasons because Jesus came to set captives free, didn't he? This isn't all about indulgence so we're slugging through. This is about freedom and that we can be mobilized to be and do whatever God has for us. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. It's another edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We are sitting before a live studio audience, and we seriously wish we could do this every day. It's so fun seeing these beautiful faces and engaging in conversation with you. We've been having an amazing conversation about how to pace ourselves with grace in the holiday season and how to have a detox mindset. I know that sounds not very fun, but if you just tuned in, you've missed it because we've talked carrots, ball movements, parties. I mean, it's been exciting, but it really has been so interesting. And we're going to talk about how to detox our lives going into this new year while we're engaging in the holiday season. And I think it is the most perfect conversation to have as Christ followers. When you think Jesus came in the middle of, I mean, you think about people were being crucified outside the city when this baby was born. He came to seek and save the lost. So our lives should be testimonies of freedom and grace. So we're going to continue that conversation. We want to take some live studio audience questions. Neil, what do you got for us?
All right. Well, start with Donna. Go ahead.
Well, Dr. Troy has been encouraging me to call into the radio show for a long time, and I did him one better, and I came.
Yeah,
all
I
right.
see that.
So I started seeing Dr. Troy a year ago, and I came in with 5 ugly diagnoses. Sjogren's syndrome, sleep apnea, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, fibromyalgia, and glaucoma.
Wow.
And he started working on these things, not one at a time, but holistically. And this is what I like about his approach, is that he doesn't zero in on one symptom. He looks at everything mm-hmm. as a whole and starts working on it. And first thing he did was debunk two of my diagnoses. I don't have Sjogren's syndrome. My dryness in my eyes and mouth improved when my lymphatic system started flowing better, like he was just talking about. My sleep apnea, I didn't have that. I had upper airway resistance syndrome, and now it's treated periodically with chiropractic adjustments that only he knows how to do.
Oh, no.
And his other chiropractor.
That myth.
He might have whispered it in your ear, but he didn't want you to say it out loud. No, I'm just kidding.
And my liver function tests were through the roof, and now with my latest blood tests, they're in normal ranges.
Oh.
My fibromyalgia, I have hardly any pain at all anymore. In my glaucoma, my eye pressure readings are in normal ranges now.
Thank you, Lord. Wow.
And I feel wonderful.
Wow.
And thank you so much, Dr. Troy.
Oh, thank
you.
So
not a question, but a testimony.
That's
great. Fantastic.
That's wonderful.
Thank you so much for that.
Let's go to Patty.
Hi. My question is about this time of year. Not only do we overcommit, but then we also have the flu season. And we have the flu shots and the pneumonia shots. And I have some friends recently who just went through the shots, and they're really in misery. Mm. They have joint pains and pain all over. And my one friend who had the pneumonia shot, he's actually got a streak going down his arm. So I was wondering if you could comment about the safety of
the
shots.
He's like, I got to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back.
Yeah, you're going to get me in trouble.
Yeah.
So here's my take on it. So when it comes to getting the seasonal shots, I have a different approach. And so it's all about getting your immune system as healthy as possible. One of the things that we're seeing nowadays is a rise in autoimmunity. And the way I'm going to say it is our own immune system is attacking our body, which means it's confused. One of the eight triggers of autoimmunity is infection. And so if your immune system is dampened and you give it a shot with a virus in it, even if it's attenuated is what they call it, where it's been, you know, it's not very strong, so it's not going to overtake you. The problem now is it can still be enough to trigger a reaction in your immune system that then causes a cascade of autoimmune type scenarios. And that's not being measured. So my concern is people who have compromised immune systems from an autoimmune perspective are being given things that they're not reacting well with. And so you have this fight in the medical world.
So they're not strong enough to fight it, is that right? Because they're already compromised?
Yeah, and what I would love to see is more research. There's one article on here that just put vitamin D by itself, a standalone vitamin D against the flu shot. And I'm just going to say in that one study, vitamin D came out ahead. By not just a little bit, by a lot. And so for me, that just fuels the road that I'm on. Now, there's a lot more research that needs to be done, but I'm going to say it this way. You don't make money. Well, the carrot growers do. The organic carrot growers make money. But you don't make money from food, from antioxidants. And so there are other driving forces behind a lot of that. And My wife works in the medical system. She works in the hospital, and they'll tell you straight up, they get a lot of their bonuses based on who gets the numbers that get the flu shot. And so when I don't like that for me. That doesn't sit well with my heart. It's not about the people. That's about something different. And so I like looking at the person and saying, okay, you actually will do fine with the flu shot. It's a good thing for you to do. But if there's any inkling of compromise, we have to start questioning that in the medical community and say, okay, now what's going on here? Is there a potential for reaction? Our first dedication is to do no harm. That's our first commitment to our patients. And so it's important to keep investigating that. But in the world I live in, it's all about getting your immune system, getting your internal army built up as much as possible. So we're going to feed it all the good stuff. We're going to basically encourage it, just like a plant. You talk, you know, nice to your plant, and it grows nurturing. I've been told that. I'm not a botanist or anything like that. But I talk to my immune system, my cells and stuff. It's our self-talk. All those things really do matter. And so it's all about mentally, chemically, physically, and spiritually lifting your immune system up as best you can. And we need to study that more. And so I'm all about boosting your immune system and making it as strong as possible, but also taking a look at what is your body telling us. And then that'll help you make a decision on the flu shot.
Thank you so much for that.
All right, Nancy, you had a question.
I was wondering if those blue lights can help with, you know, the lack of vitamin D in the wintertime?
The seasonal affect lights. And so I don't have any numbers on that, but yes, they can. If you get, if it helps your mood, and there's a potential it's also helping with the vitamin D and some of the conversion there through the skin and the liver system. And I'll just say this, one, it's not just sunlight that can actually start to dampen that reflex. It's inflammation inside the body. Anything that causes your liver system to have to work more, work harder, can also start to decrease that reaction. And it's quite fascinating. We actually now know that the bacteria in our digestive tract talks to the bacteria on our skin. And so there's a communication system that we're just discovering that's going on right now, just like our nervous system, our brain, just like our hormone system. There's now a microbiome where bacteria is sending signals, chemical signals and otherwise, to the bacteria on our skin. So a lot of times people will change their diet and their acne will go away, or they'll change what's going on in here and their skin health improves. And so we know there's a lot more to it than just that, but that's one thing that can potentially help. Yeah.
All right. Next up, Stephanie.
Hi, Dr. Troy.
Hello.
My question is in regards to my 14-year-old daughter. She is a high school swimmer. She's been swimming for a number of years, but my question is more around a concern that her dad and I have with the continual training that her body and many of those athletes are under. What is your take or your thought on how we are continually putting all these pressures on these young bodies physically, more so than anything, and them not really taking a break from this active practice and endurance? I'm concerned about her just physically being healthy and not injuring herself. So what would you recommend to someone, a parent, who's concerned about that?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Really good
and
question.
And so we've talked off air, Susie and I, as far as just athletes in general and some of the trends we're seeing as far as concussions and such. And in that light, 14 years old, there's a lot of changes occurring. There's a lot of growth still occurring. And the reality is the majority of times it's being overdone and we're not fueling our bodies properly. So the exercise is good. First and foremost, as a nation, we tend to not exercise or move enough, the kids. But then we have this other category of just go, 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 and it's too much. And so we have to have recuperation time. There are certain things you can do to help speed that up. So antioxidants, again, help with recovery, anything that helps the detoxification system. So again, if you're really working hard on helping with detox, then that helps facilitate more of a healthy person. The likelihood is that it probably is too much just because of the schedule. So having breaks are really important. I would also say this to all the parents out there. Think about what we've talked about as far as what our immune system and our detoxification system needs. Not sugar, it is the antioxidants. Now, if you're burning a lot of calories, they can consume more sugar. They can get away with it. What I love about athletes is that they sweat and they pull that water right through their system. That's such a good way to detoxify. And so the sweating is excellent, so a lot of times they can get away with it. It's important to take a look at what you're seeing with your daughter or with your son, any teenagers, if they're complaining about muscle aches or pains or recovery and it's taking too long, that's a problem. When we exercise a muscle, there's something called delayed onset muscle soreness. That's expected. That should recover by itself within 1 to 3 days, 3 days max. If it keeps cycling, then something's going on there. So it's something we just have to take a look at individually. I would say it's being done way too much as far as the sports, one thing after another, and the intensity and the training. However, it's also something that's very, very much needed. And for our muscles to really get healthier, they have to be broken down and built back up. And there's a rest period that's involved with that. So really getting to know your body is really important.
And just one little thought to add to that, too, is how often at least high school athletes are doing the monster drinks, the Mountain Dew, all the stuff to keep themselves going. That's not sustainable because what they're asking of their body, what they're putting in their body, is it's counterproductive. Right?
Yeah, they're crashing their adrenals. We're seeing teenagers being diagnosed with POTS and postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. Yep. Mm-hmm. And so... thanks, Doctor.
You're welcome. I'm here. If you need me. Yeah.
I don't always have the words. She's just right there, so it works well. And the reality is they're aging their adrenal glands to that of someone in their mid-40s with these caffeinated beverages and the amount of sugar that they're consuming. And so they're crashing like they're having a midlife crisis at 17.
That's something.
And we have multiple pictures on our wall. We have an inspiration wall at Synapse of athletes, teenage athletes, and they all have a story. Most of them couldn't walk because of that scenario, because of POTS, because they'd burned out their adrenal glands. So we had to get their adrenal glands back in working order so that they could start to participate and get back to life. And it's possible, but we have a lot of education about sugar and stress. I mean, and these athletes, I mean, God bless them, they're also going to school. They're also studying, and most of them are really working hard to be as good at their academics as they are at their sport. And so that's a lot of mental stress, too. So you have to fuel that properly.
And if the quality of their sleep is going down, let's say those who are doing the monster drinks, you know they're not sleeping, so they're not repairing. And that's where the crisis comes because you're going to crash and hit a wall. We have to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to take a few more audience questions. Also, at the top of second hour, we're going to have an interesting conversation about Dr. Troy because, like I mentioned, he's playing football with guys half his age. I think that's funny. But anyway, but what is really amazing is a lot of these young guys are injuring out, and he has a fasting program that he does to reduce the inflammation so his body can handle it. I just find that fascinating. So we'll talk about that. But get your questions ready. Keep them coming. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, and we will be back in a minute. Tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. It's another edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We do this every month, but this is a special day because we're doing our show before a live studio audience. I want you to hear from them because they're amazing. We've had such a great time. Oh, I hope we can do this again. We've been talking about pacing ourselves through the holiday, detoxing our system, but then also taking questions. And before the break, there was a pretty amazing question about a young athlete and just the things that young people put themselves through. There's a way to sustain sports, but you got to really support the immune system. I know we've got a few more questions before the end of this first hour.
Let's go to Pam next.
I have a question. You were talking about detoxing through fasting, but what if you have a hard time fasting? Like if you get shaky and weak? And
do what my husband does.
Water.
He eats fast. I'm sorry. Anyway, doesn't help though. But anyway.
But if you would drink a lot of water and then you feel sick to your stomach from drinking so much water and an empty stomach. So how do you detox without fasting?
So that, I love that question because that serves another population of people. And so we have a lot of people who have what's called reactive hypoglycemia. So reactive hypoglycemia is where your blood sugar will kind of go up a little bit and then it comes back down too far and you get low blood sugar. And the shakes is a sign of too low blood sugar. So what that means is you have blood sugar regulation issues at that point when you're going into a hypoglycemic mode. There is an upper and lower threshold with your blood sugar regulation, and you want to stay within that threshold all the time. So you have to retrain your system before you can start fasting. So these are the people that you want to eat smaller meals, low glycemic. So you want to start with low glycemic meals, and fiber is one of your really important components to a diet. So you actually want to eat a little bit more small meals, and you have to balance the blood sugar, insulin, and cortisol. So there are many variables here as far as what causes reactive hypoglycemia. One of the keys, if you go to bed and then you wake up about 3 hours after sleeping and you're wide awake, that's one reason or one thing that we see with people who have reactive hypoglycemia. Their blood sugar drops down too low. It'll actually wake you up out of that deep sleep. The other thing is, you know that if you eat lunch and you get that mid-afternoon drop after eating a high glycemic meal, you kind of feel tired. Or if you ate an hour ago and you're starting to nod off right now here, then it's you've got reactive hypoglycemia because we know it's not because we're boring or anything like that. So we can rule that out.
What's not to love about what we've been talking about, right?
That's right. So it's not the content at all. So that's a sign that your blood sugar is dropping too low. So it's all about balancing the insulin. And one of your opposing hormones to insulin is cortisol, the stress hormone. So again, you have to make sure that that hormone system is good. So balancing the insulin blood sugar will need to be done before you can go into fasting. So if you cannot fast, it's a very, very important sign that something is going on within that system. And again, thyroid can interfere with cortisol, which can interfere with insulin. And so, especially with women, we start to see a lot of thyroid disorders start to cause that whole series, that whole consequence. So that has to be cleaned up to a certain degree before you can start fasting. And what you can do to try and get some of the same responses is supplement more with things that will start to facilitate a process of detoxifying. So antioxidants, grapeseed extract, things that can help with the hormone regulation. We call them adaptogens, so ashwagandha, licorice. So finding the one that's, and then licorice root, I should say. All of a sudden, yes, yeah. All these red vine eyes just went, wow.
I knew that stuff was good for you.
Yes. So there are herbs and adaptogens that really can help regulate that. And so working with someone who knows what they're doing that way or doing a little bit of research helps. And eating really consistently, small meals will help as well until you can get to that place. But that's one of your goals, is to be able to eventually fast. And it will take 6 months if you're reactive hypoglycemic to start to make the changes.
And one thing we talked about on the show about this before is if you do wake up for those couple hours at night, to have something before you go to bed. And I mean, that is something that was consistently happening to me. And I have a few bites of like a peanut butter Lara bar or a few slices of apple. And it's amazing what a difference that makes just to help level the blood sugar. Should it be protein and carbs, or what would you say?
Yeah, so it can be anything that doesn't spike the blood sugar. So low glycemic. So protein works. So I have some people that do little chicken slices. I have people that eat an apple. And so if it's a fruit or vegetable, it just has to be bound to the fiber. When we have juice, that's the sugar, but the fiber might be in there, but it's not bound to it. When you eat a whole food, the sugars are attached to the fiber, and the fiber kind of drags the sugar down the intestinal tract, and it gets released much, much slower than if you just get all the sugar in a juice form. So to balance the blood sugar, the fiber has to be a part of the conversation, and it's better if the sugars are still attached to the fiber and it breaks down slowly.
Interesting.
Michelle is next. Go ahead.
Hi. I have actually three questions, and one is regarding to what you're just speaking of, and I was wondering how important is protein and or fat, because I know that they'll stabilize the blood sugars, and protein... animal source compared to
plant
source, you know. So that's one question. And regarding to fasting and or detoxing. And then can you actually get too much vitamin D for people that work outside all day long, exposed to the sun, and then come winter they're not, you know, working outdoors anymore. They're not getting that vitamin D. Can you actually get too much vitamin D? So that's another question. And then third is, how much research have you done with blood type?
Eating right for your blood type?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to have him grab these now because we have a hard break coming up in just a few minutes. You got all three of those? Because I already forgot the first one.
Yeah. There was three?
Yeah.
okay, so again, I'll go back in reverse order. So the blood type, I read the information when the book came out many years ago, and I've seen a lot. I watched it carefully. I used it. We experimented with certain patient. Well, experiment is not the right thing. You guys don't want to know that we've experimented on you, right? But we worked with it, and what we found was blood type O and AB seemed to get the best results with that scenario. And those were the diets that were kind of the ketogenic diet, the high protein one, and the other healthier diet anyway. So for me, I wasn't quite sold on it, but because for all four blood types, the theory is pretty interesting, but it's one we don't generally use as much anymore, unless you're blood type O or AB, because then we've seen good results with those. So that for that part of it, and that's just our. Information.
I'm AB, so I'm. Two books have told me that I'm toxic. Chicken's toxic for me.
Yeah. So we've seen AB and O have good results with it. The thing is, if you try it, see what the results are. In functional medicine, we're always looking at measuring some level of dysfunction, putting something into play, and then does it make a difference? Is there a measurable change with either how you feel or lab work or something? We want to see a measurable change. So. I'm a firm believer to get away from books telling you how you are and having you tell the book how you are. Does that make sense? So just really keep increasing that awareness.
We're all so unique, and so we all have come with such a pile of
absolutely
stories and experiences. And
so vitamin D and too much?
So they do have recorded toxic levels of vitamin D, so you can actually get too much, not necessarily from sunlight, from working out outside all day. Generally speaking, it's how well you take the sun and how you stay hydrated as well. And so it's not, we generally, especially up here in the north, see much, much more deficiency than we do excessive. And it's not well defined what the symptoms are of excessive vitamin D right now. So in the medical world, we say, yes, you can, but we really don't know what that's going to look like. So we're just being careful.
Because most people don't go there, basically?
Most people don't go there. And they used to recommend 200 IUs of vitamin D a day. And then they went up to 1,000. And now in the hospitals, they'll give you 50,000 in one shot once a week. And so now they're seeing, they definitely got to the point of increasing it. So we're seeing that there are certain people with what's called vitamin D polymorphisms, where the receptors are not converting the vitamin D properly, and so they may have high blood vitamin D, but they have symptoms of low vitamin D because they're not using it. So there's a lot of variables there, as you can see.
I take a 50,000 once a week, and Tuesday's like the best day of my week. I'm just saying, I feel so good on Tuesdays, and then I take it again next Tuesday. But it's been amazing what an improvement it's made.
And one more about fasting, yeah. Right? Was that your first question?
Just stabilizing blood sugars when you're fasting, when you're detoxing, how important is protein, fats?
We've got 1 minute to the heart out here, so
yep. Protein, fats, very, very important for balancing blood sugars, and especially good fats. And so we're seeing more and more that if we just increased our proteins, increased our fat, and decreased our carbs, people are actually much, much better with that. So in general, the ketogenic diet, the fat flush, the eating fat helps our brain and our inflammatory system. So people do better with that. As far as plant-based versus protein-based, I'm a meat eater, so I have a lot of patients who are vegans, and I'll tell you right now, my healthiest patients are vegans, and my most unhealthy patients are vegans. And so you have to know your body again. Plant-based proteins just has to be managed really well, but they are a great source of protein if you can do it.
All right. Well, that wraps up hour one. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. What a great conversation we've had so far. Coming up next for hour two, we're going to talk about how to detox through these holiday seasons so we can wake up in January feeling ready for a brand new year. Plus, we'll take more audience questions, so don't go away. Hour two is up next.